Welcome to Today on Broadway for Wednesday, July 20th, 2016. I'm Broadway World's Matt Tamanini.
And I am Broadway star's James Marino.
James, before we get into today's show, I want to ensure you beforehand that all of these words that I'm about to read are my own, despite any similarities to Michelle Obama's 2008 convention speech. I promise I wrote them, so don't get on me about any plagiarism claims.
Well, I appreciate that, and your two daughters, Sasha and Malia, they're wonderful children.
They are.
All right, Fiddler on the Roof is going to close the end of the year.
Yeah, James, if we have to discuss shows announcing closing dates, I guess one of the best ways to do that is to say that they still have 4 months left in their run before they pack up shop. And that is the case with Fiddler, which will officially close after December 31st's 2 p.m. matinee, having played at that point 464 performances. Yesterday, the show's producer, Jeffrey Richards, announced the show would be closing in order to, quote, provide people with enough time to come see this great musical in a definitive production. Obviously, we've got a little bit of a soft spot for it now after our in-depth personal interview with Alexandra Silber. But James, our own Peter Felicia, who for my money, and podcasts are free, so take that for what it is, but for my money, one of the most intelligent and thoughtful voices in the history of the Broadway community and the Broadway theater is our own Peter Felicia. And on Today on Broadway, he said that this is the best production of Fiddler that he's ever seen in his long and storied theater-going career. So for folks who want to see it but haven't, you can't get a better recommendation than Peter's.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that this is one of those things that you will put in your... I saw it with Danny Burstein as Tevye, kind of proud moments. All right, next up, Burn This with Jake Gyllenhaal is confirmed for the spring.
Yeah, we talked about this on Monday's show, but yesterday it was made official that Hollywood hunk Jake Gyllenhaal will be returning to Broadway in a revival of Lanford Wilson's play Burn This, directed by Michael Mayer, beginning in February. So none of that's new. However, the new news, and it's a pretty exciting little tidbit, is that the show will be the first to play the newly reopened Hudson Theater under the new ownership of the UK's Ambassador Theater Group, which we've talked about before. The last show to play that house was the George Panetta play Mike Downstairs in April of 1968, which ran for a staggering 15 total performances, including previews. The first show in that theater was Hubert Henry Davis's Cousin Kate in 1903, then in 05, it saw the original Broadway production of George Bernard Shaw's Man and Superman. Then in 1943, the house played host to the original production of Arsenic and Old Lace after it transferred from the Fulton, where it opened in 1941. The venue became the Savoy Nightclub in 1981. Then in 1995, it became part of the Millennium Broadway Hotel before it was purchased by ATG last year. When the theater reopens, it'll be the 41st Broadway house, as well as the oldest, having opened just weeks earlier in 1903 than the Lyceum and New Amsterdam. The reported capacity will be about 700 seats, but that could obviously change during the renovation process. James, I am not a Broadway historian or anything like Jen Tepper is, but this is still pretty cool to see a classic landmark theater return to its legit roots.
I hate to sound like a capitalist, but the free market has won here. We have too many Broadway shows and not enough Broadway houses, so the market created a new house.
Yep.
Isn't that amazing?
The invisible hand at work.
All right. Last night we talked about privacy, and we have a few more major reviews.
You keep calling it privacy. I'm going to go with privacy, and we'll just nary the two shall meet. We did. Yesterday, we talked about some of the early reviews, and we wanted to update you on some of the more major publications that posted after we recorded yesterday's episode. The New York Times' Ben Brantley wrote of the production, and this is kind of an interesting visual, so try to visualize this. Privacy doesn't provide much material that hasn't been rehashed many times in newspaper and magazine and vlog essays. It can feel rather like one of those middle school instructional films that use a likable animated creature, a talking dinosaur or skeleton maybe, to keep its distractible young viewers hooked. The scene in which I felt most engaged, confused, and affected involves a little techno sleight of hand, just a very deft performer, that would be Mr. Radcliffe, treading water in an improvisational sequence. Leave it to Brantley to get all fancy on us. Variety's Marilyn Stasio said, Daniel Radcliffe, who's made auspicious Broadway appearances in shows including How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying and The Cripple of Inishmon, is enormously appealing as the writer in this confounding play. She continues, "No matter how digitally savvy you are, it's impossible not to identify with this sweet schmuck as he stumbles through the vast world of the web to discover that there's no such thing as privacy. That's because both the playwright and his director, Josie Rourke, have written the audience into the script, which doesn't technically exist without our participation." So James, get ready for that. It sounds like something that I would absolutely hate. I don't like audience participation. So get your defenses up for when you see it on Thursday night. David Cody of Time Out New York said, "More than a satire on narcissism in the age of the selfie or a limp morality tale about online anime, privacy gets the audience actively engaged in amusing novel ways." We will have a link to the show notes to Broadway World's review roundup if you want to see all of the major reviews. But James, it sounds interesting. I mean, not everybody seemed to love it and give it a rave, but nonetheless, it sounds like an interesting theatrical experience.
Yeah, I mean, there are other shows that I have seen which have included audience feedback in real time, whether it might be, you know, a camera taken out into the audience and
even
showing,
Rent, yeah.
You know, that, exactly. You know, I was thinking about that as well. So we'll have to see if, it seems like from the reviews that Deeper Than the Gimmicks, this is an interesting book, and I will be checking into the public theater on Thursday night as Matt Temenini just to see what it is, because I don't want to give away my privacy.
Yeah, exactly. Go for it.
Show and big casting announcements. I love Big. Big the Musical. What did you did you ever get that recording? You know, I know that you did, probably didn't see it.
No, it was a little before my time. I love the movie, and we're going to go real deep dive here. I had the recording at one point, and then I lent, back in my college days, my little sleeve of CDs to a friend of mine. It also included the original cast recording of Martine Guerre, and her car got broken into, and they took the CDs. I'm sure those thieves did not want my CDs of show tunes, but I never saw it again.
I had a car when I was at Penn State, and it was broken into, and the sleeve of CDs was stolen, and they took the Wham CD out and left it on the seat, and the State College, Pennsylvania police officer that wrote up the report said, "Oh, great, a critic."
I'm just kind of surprised they had CDs when you were in college, James.
Oh no, you didn't.
getting to the announcements. Yesterday, the Broadway production of Waitress announced that Glee star Jenna Ushkowitz would be stepping into the role of Dawn beginning on July 29th for Kamiko Glenn, who is taking a leave of absence. Ushkowitz made her Broadway debut at the age of 10 in the Lou Diamond Phillips Donna Murphy revival of The King and I, and was a replacement in the original Broadway production of Spring Awakening. No duration or official reason for Glenn's presumably temporary exit was announced, but she is entering her fourth season as a recurring cast member of Orange is the New Black, which is recently begun filming season 5. There are reports that she's been out quite a bit lately, so I don't know if there's something else going on beyond Orange is the New Black, but either way, I really enjoy Jenna Ushkowitz. She actually does a podcast of her own, which is, I've listened to a couple episodes. It's really fun. So good for her coming back to Broadway.
Big stars are announced for the remainder of Vassar's 2016 powerhouse season.
Yeah, yesterday, Vassar and New York Stage and Film announced casting for the final weeks of the 32nd Powerhouse season, running through July 31st at Vassar College up in Poughkeepsie, to one of the best-named cities in the country, James. Amongst the big names announced as part of a handful of readings are Amber Tamblyn and Thomas Sadowski, who will be joining the cast of Josh Radnor's first-ever play, Sacred Valley. Zach Greiner will be joining John Patrick Shanley's The Portuguese Kid, and Judith Ivey and Peter Scolari joining Dan LaFranc's Rancho Viejo. We will have a link to all of the Powerhouse season shows, workshops, and readings in the show notes at BroadwayRadio.com, so check that out.
Is that Zach Greiner Grenier or Greiner?
I don't know. I thought it was Greiner. Is it Grenier? Yeah, he was on The Good Wife. So yeah. he's guy that you see in everything.
He's great. Thomas Sadowski. I just saw him on television. I was walking by the TV yesterday or so. What show is he on? It's really funny.
Yeah, it's a good show. It's called Life in Pieces. It's a half-hour sitcom on CBS. It's got a bunch of great people, James Brolin, Diane Wiest, Colin Hanks, Tom Hanks' son. It's really funny. I watched the pilot before it came out on air, and I was like, eh, this isn't really it. And then I just kind of stumbled across it later in the season, and it turned into a really funny show. So it's a good one over on CBS.
He has been in a bunch of off-Broadway plays, and I guess in actually Broadway plays that I've really enjoyed. So we just saw him at Second Stage last season in something.
Yeah, the thing with Amanda Seyfried.
Yeah, that's right. So Andrew Lloyd Webber commissions a theater diversity report.
Yeah, on Monday, the UK's The Stage website reported that the Right Honourable the Lord Andrew Lloyd Webber has commissioned a report into diversity in the British theatre in an attempt to address where the industry is failing. ALW said that he is concerned about the lack of diverse young people making their careers in the theatre. He said that the research was commissioned to, quote, see how a potential crisis can be avoided. The Stage needs to reflect the diversity of the UK population, or it risks becoming marginalized. The arts are for everyone. James, we joke about ALW's vindictive temper and some of his idiosyncrasies, but he is someone who is not afraid to put his considerable wealth where his mouth is when it comes to important issues impacting the modern theater. So good for him. I hope that whatever comes out of this research project has a strong and powerful and meaningful impact on the British theater. And then maybe we can see what they do over there and bring it over to the American theater as well.
My memory is as good as Dory's is in Finding Nemo. And I sort of remember that he just made another multi-million dollar donation here in the States. Was it at the Tony Awards or?
Yeah, it was part of. Yeah, it was announced during the Tony Awards. I don't exactly. It was for something with the American Theater Wing's education wing. I don't exactly know all the details, but it was something for that. So, like I said, he is by no means afraid to spend the considerable fortune that he's amounted writing musicals.
And he also is involved with instruments for public school kids in conjunction with School of Rock. And so, yeah. I mean, you know, we joke about Andrew Lloyd Webber, but, he's really an amazing, amazing philanthropic person.
Absolutely.
All right. Our good friend Michael Riedel's Razzle Dazzle to become a miniseries.
Yeah, speaking of another great, incredible, important philanthropic member of the theatrical community, just kidding. Yesterday, Page Six reported that their New York Post colleague Michael Riedel's most recent book, Razzle Dazzle, will be turned into a television miniseries, which will feature a teleplay by Douglas McGrath, who co-wrote Bullets Over Broadway with Woody Allen, the movie, and penned the 1996 big screen adaptation of Emma, 2002's Nicholas Nickleby, and wrote the book for Beautiful, the Carol King musical. The original book by Riedel is about how Bernard Jacobs and Gerald Schoenfeld transformed the collapsed theater district in the 1970s and 80s by taking over a crumbling theater company, the Schuberts, that became one of the most successful entertainment empires in the world and revitalized Times Square. This is obviously in the early stages, so no word on timeline or network or casting. But James, the book is supposed to be really, really good. Andrew Rannells mentioned on the Patty Murin podcast that he was reading it and he really enjoyed it. So I'm looking forward to see what comes out of this when they put it all together. I'm kind of hoping that in his great humbleness, Michael Riedel finds a way to get himself into the miniseries just so we can see what actor gets to play him on the screen.
I don't know if you remember, but we interviewed Riedel on This Week on Broadway right after Razzle Dazzle came out. And he's a really interesting guy. I give him a hard time all the time, but I'm not afraid to say publicly that I'm a big fan of Michael Riedel's. And I do give him a hard time, but he's very, very smart. And he's snarky and he's quick-witted and things like that, and probably a little bit borderline rude for some people's taste. But you cannot deny his passion and intelligence of the theater. I mean, you might not agree with what he says, but he's the real deal. So we'll put a link to the interview with Riedel on This Week on Broadway in the show notes, and take a listen to that. It was a lot of fun to talk with him about it. All right, Matt, why don't you get us out of here?
Okay, thanks for listening today on Broadway. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Broadway Radio, and you can find me at BWWMATT, and subscribe to Something Like a Pop on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. We just put out our Emmy nominations special mini episode yesterday, so check that out if you need to get in the loop for the TV award season coming up this fall.
Absolutely. I took a listen to that this afternoon. It was a lot of fun, you know, and only 12 or 15 minutes or so. So, you know, it's good for a subway stop between the Upper West Side and Sardi's. My name is James Marino from BroadwayRadio.com and BroadwayStars.com. Thank you so much for listening to us today, and we will be back to you tomorrow.